Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and as always on this program, the phone lines are open, and we will welcome your calls right now at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. So if you have a Bible question or if there's something you're dealing with in life, at home, on a job, wherever it happens to be, well, let us hear from you. Give us a call at 844-322-2742 right now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. All month we're looking at the person of Jesus Christ. We're asking the question, who is Jesus? And then we're turning that question on you, asking you to answer, who do you say that this Jesus is? Yeah. And I think that's the question that we all need to ask ourselves. Who is Jesus? Bob, I know like Time Magazine and a couple of the other major magazines usually once a year will issue a one of their issues, and it's all about Jesus, and it's usually titled, Who is the Real Jesus? Uh-huh. So for 2,000 years, people have been wanting to know the answer to that question. Well, the Bible reveals the answer. Sure. It gives us the truth. Jesus made some claims about himself that were recorded. The apostles heard that, and then they came to some conclusions based on what he said and based on the revelation of God's Spirit to them, and they proclaimed him as God, and they bowed down as worship and worshiped him as their Lord and God. That's who Jesus is. And Paul answers that question in his letter to the Colossians. He says this: he is the image of the invisible God. So who is Jesus Christ? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, which means he has the place of preeminence in this world. He is the preeminent one. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So who is Jesus? He's the image of the invisible God. So when you see Jesus, you see God the Father. He is the creator. All things were created through him and for him. He spoke and the world came to be. He is before all things, so he's always existed. There wasn't a point in time where he suddenly existed. He's just always been.
Yeah.
And he is the one who holds all things together. And I think this is really a very timely passage based on what we saw happen at the Capitol building yesterday. We look and think this world is just spinning out of control. It's just chaotic. But here's a passage that can give us some comfort in the midst of that we have a God. We have this person named Jesus Christ, who is all-powerful, who actually holds all things together. And we as believers in Christ can count on that. We don't have to, look at a situation like yesterday with fear and all of these things in our hearts. We can rest confidently that God knows what he's doing, Jesus knows what he's doing, and that he's holding this together, and his purposes and his plans will continue to be carried out in this world today through his body. That's good news.
Yeah.
So that gives us a lot of comfort. He's also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. So Jesus Christ is the preeminent one. Now, here's what was happening in Colossae way back when. They were a pretty well-to-do place, and they had lots of philosophers that would come through and would share their ideas and their thoughts and their philosophies. Paul basically called all of them empty and hollow and deceptive, but they were philosophies. They were worldly philosophies. They came out of the minds of men, and they would present them in fairly persuasive ways. There were other groups that were very strict as far as rules and regulations and beating of the body and those sort of things. And so what these folks in Colossae were doing is they were taking a little bit of all the things that were coming at them. They would take some of the philosophies, they would take some of the rules and the regulations, and they would put it all in a blender, and they'd add a little Jesus to it, and they would blend it all up, and they would come out with a philosophy that included a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Now, Paul is saying, why in the world would you want to do that? I mean, in Jesus are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus, you are complete. I mean, there's nothing that these worldly philosophies, these human philosophies, there's nothing that these rules and regulations can add to what Christ has already done and who Christ is. And Paul wanted the people there to know that, and he wants us to know it. Why? Because we have a tendency to do the same thing. We have a tendency to take all the good things out of all the different philosophies, all the different religions, and try to blend it together into one. We see that happening here in America. We see that this happening the world over. And Paul is screaming at us, saying, wait a minute, guys. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Yeah. Jesus holds all things together. In everything, he is the preeminent one. So he stands alone. Jesus Christ stands alone, and we stand complete in him. Nothing needs to be added to what we have in Christ Jesus. Once you receive him, there is absolutely nothing more that you need in your life. Yeah. Now, that's a message that we need to hold on to. Like I said, the world throws all kinds of ideas and philosophies at us, ways to achieve success, ways to find happiness and peace or feel confident and bold. Now, on the surface, they all seem to be wise. They all seem to have a measure of wisdom or a hint of truth, something that promises to make you a better version of yourself. We're all tempted to mix these worldly ideas in with Christianity, with Jesus. But we need to realize, just as Paul says, Jesus stands alone.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the things that we really need as far as human beings are concerned, things like eternal life, things like forgiveness of sins, things like righteousness, unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, the world can't provide any of that. Only Jesus can. That's why he needs to hold the preeminent place in all of our lives.
Thank you, Bob. This is Basic Gospel, and this is the kind of good news that you hear every day right here on your radio station or online or however you're hearing this particular broadcast. And we want to hear from you at 844-322-2742. That number good in the U.S. and Canada. Lines available right now, 844-322-2742. And friends, if you've been listening to Basic Gospel for a while at all, well, you know that Bob Christopher is frequently producing new resources to help you hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ. And for those of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and gifts this month, we want to send you his latest work. It's called Jesus, a 30-Day Devotional. It's your opportunity to fully immerse yourself in a month-long look at the person and work of Jesus Christ. And it's our way of saying thanks for your gift of support in this month of January. Again, please make your gift at basicgospel.net. And once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. We are here to serve you. We'd love to be able to do that, but you need to call for us to do that, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, Bob, a question that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hello, it's Karen again. I'm reading the book of Revelation. I'm trying to understand it, and I'm reading in chapter 1, verse 4. It says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Who are the seven spirits? Thank you. God bless you.
Well, that's a great question, Karen, and it seems kind of weird to see that see that phrase, the sevenfold spirit or the seven spirits. You know, when we think of God, we think of him as in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really just a reference to the Holy Spirit. And the number seven is a number that represents fullness or completeness, or even can mean perfection. And I think that's just what John is referring to, the perfection of God's Spirit. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So this is one of those passages that we actually see the Trinity. Now, that word is not in the Bible. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. So, but this is one of the passages that explains that, or at least shows it. We see the fullness of the Godhead here. God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. Now, the sevenfold Spirit, it means, he's going to cover the world completely and bring the good news of Jesus Christ to folks in every corner of the world. So that's what he's referring to there, Karen, and I hope that is a help to you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Karen. Love hearing from you. Once again, friends, 844-322-2742. You can come right into the studio right now and speak directly with Bob Christopher and me, and we would love for you to do that. Again, 844-322-2742. Another question that came in overnight, Bob. Let's listen to this one.
Hi, my name is Joe here in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I had a question about the name of Jesus in particular. As you read through the Bible, the first instance where I see there being a difference in the names is when Mary and Joseph are told to name him Emmanuel, and then you see many references later on that his name is Jesus, and that started to cause a little confusion. And as I start asking around, I learned that there's more names, and there's kind of like a debate even in the Hebrew pronunciation of the name. Is it Yeshua, Yehoshua, Yahshua? And I was just trying to find out if there's any more or less power in the name of Jesus versus Yeshua or Yahshua or Emmanuel. And I was hoping you can clear up that confusion for me. Thank you.
Well, Joe, thanks for that question. I really appreciate that. And we certainly don't want any confusion around the name of Jesus. Now, when the angel appeared to Joseph, and Joseph was struggling with what to do as far as Mary was concerned, she was pregnant. Joseph knew it wasn't his child. He had decided that he was just going to walk away, divorce her quietly, and move on with his life. And then he fell asleep, and in that sleep, he had a dream, and an angel spoke to him, and the angel gave him all the details. This child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. When he comes into this world, you're to name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. So that's what the name Jesus means. It means Savior. It means Deliverer. And we read that in, Greek, as far as the New Testament is concerned. It was written, most of it, in the Greek language. But that term Jesus, and that's our English translation of the Greek word. But the Greek word comes from the Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word is really Joshua, what we would know of as Joshua. Yeah. So it's derivative of that. But its meaning is that he is Savior. So whether you say Jesus in English or whether you say it in Spanish, Jesus, whether you say it in Russian or whatever other language it might be, that name contains power. There's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. So we get hung up a lot of times on the linguistics. Should we give it the Hebrew pronunciation? Should we give it the Greek pronunciation? Should we give it the English pronunciation? Well, in all of those, it's speaking of the same person. It's speaking of that one who became flesh and blood and dwelt among us, the one who was in the beginning with God, who was God, and who decided at a point in time to inhabit a body that God had prepared for him and to offer that body as a sacrifice for sin, which he did on a Roman cross, dealing with the sin issue once and for all. Then he was raised to life and then 40 days later ascended into heaven. That's the Jesus we're referring to. So whether we say that name in English or, like I said, the Hebrew pronunciation or the Greek pronunciation or whatever language it might be, that's the Jesus we're speaking of. And yeah, it's that Jesus that has power to save. And it's that Jesus that we call upon. Now, the other name, Emmanuel, the angel said to him, to Joseph as well, and you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this speaks to the essence of who Jesus is, his character. Just what we were talking about at the top of the hour, that he is the visible image. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact representation of him. As he said in one of his conversations with the Pharisees, that he and the Father are one. Now, that means they are one in essence. God the Father, God the Son, same nature, same essence. So this phrase, Emmanuel, speaks to who he is, God with us. So when we come to Christ by faith, when we believe the good news concerning his death, burial, and resurrection, when we call upon the name of the Lord, guess what? We're saved. And in that salvation, God sends his Spirit to take up residence inside of us. So Jesus Christ lives in us. So what does that mean? God is with us day in and day out. Yeah. And that's the good news of the gospel. We're not going through life by ourselves. We're not going through life trying to figure it out on our own. We're not trying to fight the obstacles that come at us in our own strength. We have God and the person of the Holy Spirit living in us, Emmanuel, our perpetual Emmanuel, living in us at all times with the promise never to leave us nor forsake us. So this is the Jesus that we're talking about. And like I said, you can pronounce that name in any language. It's still the same name. Yeah. And within that name contains the power unto salvation.
Joe, thanks for your question. It's a great question, and we appreciate the opportunity to address it. Hope that's a help to you. And once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. And Bob, I talk a lot about your new resource called Jesus, a 30-day devotional. Tell the listeners what they will receive when they work through or read through this devotional for 30 days.
Yes, indeed. Well, here's a copy of it. If you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, you can see what it looks like. Greg Park did a fantastic job designing the cover. It's a part of our Hear It, Believe It, Live It devotional series. Mm-hmm. This particular one focuses on Jesus Christ. That is the age-old question. Who is he?
Yeah.
Theologians are still debating that. Different philosophers are debating that. Different religious people are debating that. Who is the real Jesus? And the Word of God tells us. The Word of God reveals him to us. And if we will pay attention to what the Word of God has to say and trust the Spirit of God to teach us truth about Jesus, we'll have a confident and assured answer. We won't be sidetracked by all the folks that try to tell us he's something other than what he truly is.
Yeah.
He is the great I Am. He is God. He is God in human flesh. He is our Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is our good shepherd. He is our priest, our prophet, our king. He is everything.
Everything.
And as we grow in our knowledge of him, that's when we experience eternal life. Why? Because that's the definition of eternal life, to know God the Father and the one whom he sent. Well, who is the one God the Father sent? Jesus Christ the Son. So when we grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus, that's when we're truly experiencing to the full, or the full measure of this eternal life that's been given to us by grace through faith. So this isn't this isn't an elementary study. This isn't an elementary devotional. Yes, most people look at who is Jesus is one of the initial questions that we ask and answer, and then once we do, we move on. Well, no, the Bible says let's grow in our knowledge of him. Let's continue to ask that question, and God will continue to reveal to us more and more about the Son. And as we get revealed to us more and more about the Son, then we're going to be transformed, as Paul said, from glory to glory. That's what this devotional is all about, and we want to put it in your hands. So Make a gift to Basic Gospel. Request your copy. I think it'll be a life-changing 30-day experience for you.
Good stuff, Bob. Thank you for that. I'll give you a heads up. This next question is concerns the harvest judgment to Revelation 14, verses 14 through 16. And this is from Jay in Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan. And he says, I enjoy your program immensely and continue to pray for Basic Gospel success in reaching the lost. And so for the listeners to get the context of Jay's question, I'll just read it. He says, or Revelation 14, 14 through 16 says, And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe, and he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. That's Revelation 14, 14 through 16. And his questions, number one, is the one sitting on the cloud Jesus or someone else? Or if it is Jesus, can you explain how another angel can instruct Jesus what to do? And if it is not Jesus, who is it?
All good questions.
Yeah, really.
All good questions indeed. Well, I think the key here is verse 14. Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. Yeah. And that is a reference back to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. And it talks about the Son of Man and coming in judgment. And that's a picture of what this is. So Jesus, all judgment has been given to him by God the Father. There's going to be a time where he comes to judge, and that's at his second coming. And I think this is a picture of what that's all about.
Okay. We appreciate hearing from you, Jay, and we hear from Jay pretty often, and he always asks great questions.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
We do have a final question here from David, and what did Jesus mean when he told his disciples to pick up their cross and follow him?
Well, that's just a call, unto discipleship, a call unto eternal life is what that is. Mm-hmm. And we, if you go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6, we get a picture of what that looks like.
Yeah.
The fact that Paul says that we have been baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So we die in Christ, we're buried in Christ, and then we're raised to walk in the newness of life. So just as Jesus Christ died on a Roman cross, he died for the sins of the world. He was buried on the third day. He was raised back to life, and then he ascended into heaven. When we trust him, when we identify with him by grace through faith, the Spirit places us into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so we're raised to walk in the newness of life. So there's no resurrection apart from death. And I think that's what Jesus is getting after, that if we're going to experience eternal life, if we're going to experience what God has sent Jesus to give us, and that's eternal life, then we die in Christ.
Yeah.
So that we can be raised to walk in this newness of life. So his story becomes our story by grace through faith.
David from Deer Park, Texas, thanks for that question. We appreciate hearing from you and hope that's a help to you. Hope you'll continue to listen. And if you have further questions, don't hesitate to reach out again. And friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. If there's something you'd like to talk about, like us to talk about on Basic Gospel on the program, well, leave a voicemail for us at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. And please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program, and we would love to have your support for this ministry, and your gift of any amount at basicgospel.net will help. And as you make your January gift, we want to send you a brand-new Hear It, Believe It, Live It resource called Jesus, a 30-day devotional, like Bob was just speaking about a few moments ago. Be sure to request your copy when you make your donation at basicgospel.net. Tomorrow on Basic Gospel, we'll return to our Friday teaching schedule as we continue on our study called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, based on Bob's book of the same title, and we hope you'll be here for that. So until then, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis saying stay safe and God bless. Bye-bye.